Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you're coming to me." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice from the heavens came, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last Sunday we celebrated the solemnity of the Lord's Epiphany as a light to all the nations, represented by the wise Gentiles who traversed field and fountain, moor and mountain in order to worship Him. Today we mark an even more important epiphany in the Lord's life, one that occurred about 30 years after that first one in Bethlehem. At the end of decades of hidden life, Jesus' full identity was manifested at the Jordan when the Holy Spirit descended upon him and God the Father spoke from heaven saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." I mentioned last week in the bulletin reflection that the Lord's epiphany in Bethlehem led to the epiphany of what was really in the heart of others. The epiphany in Herod, his hatred and hostility. The epiphany in the chief priests and biblical scholars, their total indifference to the coming of the Messiah. The epiphany in the wise men, their hunger for God and their adoring love. And also led and leads to our epiphany, depending upon how we react to Christ here and now. In an analogous way, the manifestation of the Lord's identity at the Jordan is also the manifestation of our identity and how we live up to it. At the Jordan, Jesus received one type of baptism and instituted another type of baptism, one more significant and efficacious. The baptism he received from John was merely a sign of the repentance to fulfill all righteousness. He who came into the world to take away the sins of the world foreshadowed in the waters of the Jordan what he would later accomplish in the baptism of blood on Calvary. But at the Jordan, right before Jesus' baptism, John announced that there was another baptism, not one of water signifying our need for the forgiveness of sins, but one of the Holy Spirit and fire that Jesus would institute that would actually deliver on the sign and take away those sins that needed to be forgiven. This is the baptism that Jesus, in his valedictory address immediately before ascending into heaven, gave as his great commission to his disciples, whom he entrusted with the completion of his own salvific mission. He said, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth, and therefore you go to all nations, to everybody you know, seeking to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to carry out everything I've commanded you, knowing that I'm with you always until the end of time." Countless generations before us have put those words into action, and eventually each one of us was brought into the saving stream of life-giving water, where Christ, through a minister, cleansed us of our sin and filled us with God's own life. On the day of our baptism, God claimed us as His own. We were made members of Christ's His Son's own body by participating in His Passover from death to life. We entered into His passion and His resurrection. The Holy Spirit came down upon us and made us each a temple of the Holy Spirit. God the Father lovingly adopted us as His beloved children and inaudibly but truly said of each of us what He said of Christ. This is my Son, this is my daughter, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Thus today we celebrate again not only the manifestation of the Lord's identity, but the epiphany of our own. St. John the Evangelist stressed the joy of this reality in his first letter. He said, "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, just in letting us be called God's sons and daughters." But that's not only a name, that's what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is because it didn't know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will later be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when it is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. The deepest thing that can be said about any of us is that we are God's children. At the end of our life, when we're rolled into church in a casket, the first thing that the priest should be able to preach at our funeral, more than that we were a great dad and husband and grandfather, more than we were a great mother and meme and vovo, more than we were a great employee or high school teacher or a great friend, the most important thing that will be able to be said about us is that we were God the Father's beloved son or daughter. It's the most significant thing. The world doesn't recognize that this is the most significant thing. The world thinks that the most significant thing is how much money you have, or how many Nobel Prizes you've won, or how many Super Bowl rings you wear. But St. John told us that. The reason why they don't recognize how important that is, is because they never recognize the importance of everything Jesus Himself did. But we know that it's true. The Father's words, taking us as His own, "This is my Son, this is my daughter," and telling us how much He loves us, "My beloved, in whom I'm well pleased," those words have no expiration date. Even though we sometimes, like the prodigal son, forget who we are, treat the Father as if He's dead and wander away from home, squandering our dignity, whenever we come back to His embrace, He rejoices and restores us to our true identity as His much-loved children and heirs. The key for us, though, is not to forget who we really are. That's the devil's great temptation. St. Leo the Great, one of the greatest popes who ever lived and greatest preachers, in a 5th century homily for the Christmas season that comes to a close today, exhorts us all to live up to the dignity we receive in baptism. "The purpose of the celebration of Christ's birth each year," he says, "is above all to remind us of our own rebirth by water and the Spirit, and to help us learn to live as chips off the old divine block." St. Leo urges us, "Christian, remember your dignity. Now that you share in God's own nature, don't return to sin and by sin to your own former base condition. Bear in mind who is your head and of whose body you remember. Do not forget that you've been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light of God's kingdom through the sacrament of baptism. You have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't drive away so great a guest through evil conduct and become again a slave to the devil, for your liberty was bought at the price of the blood of Christ." St. Leo points to the essential truth that baptism changes us. Just like John the Baptist said to Jesus in the Gospel today, "I must be baptized by you." So each of us likewise must be baptized to experience the fullness of God's life. On Wednesday, Pope Francis began a new series of Wednesday catechetical audiences in St. Peter's Square on the 7 sacraments to help every Catholic take those sacraments much more seriously in day-to-day life. And he began where he should have begun, right with the sacrament of baptism. But in that catechesis 4 days ago, he focused on the difference baptism makes. He said, "A question may stir within us, Is baptism really necessary to live a Christian life and to follow Jesus? After all, isn't it merely a ritual, a formal act of the church in order to give the baby a name? That's the way a lot of Christians sadly behave. They'll put off baptism for months, sometimes even years, because they don't really know its significance. They think that it's just a boring individual rite. Pope Francis is trying to say, no way, far more than that. Listen to him. What the Apostle Paul writes to us is illuminating. Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Therefore, Pope Francis says, baptism isn't a formality. It's an act that touches the depth of our existence. A baptized child and an unbaptized child are not the same. And I'll add, a baptized baby who dies as a baby, we know goes to heaven. An unbaptized baby who dies, we don't know goes to heaven. We hope we'll go to heaven, but we don't know that. Baptism touches the depth of our existence. He says an adult who is baptized and an adult who is not baptized are not the same. We, by baptism, are immersed in that inexhaustible source of life that is Jesus' death, the greatest act of love in human history. And thanks to this love, we can live a new life, no longer at the mercy of evil, of sin and death, but in communion with God and with our brothers and sisters. Baptism doesn't make us better than other people so that we can haughtily look down on others. But baptism does change us and makes us different so that we might love others with the love of the Lord Jesus. That's why Jesus would say that John the Baptist was the greatest ever born of woman, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The least, the smallest new baptized member of Jesus' body is even greater than John, because of the greatness of God that comes to us through baptism. That's the difference baptism makes. To remember that baptismal dignity and to live in accordance with it constitute the task of the Christian life. We're called to live consciously as beloved children of God, called to live that new life in loving communion with God and others, behaving in the world in such a way that others may witness in us the difference baptism makes, as they see, as Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, our good works, our works of Christian love, and give glory to our Father in heaven. To remember that baptismal dignity is, to some degree, to remember our baptism. And that, as Pope Francis indicates, presents somewhat of a problem for most of us who were baptized before we were capable of having any memory at all. That's one reason why the church places holy water fonts at the entrance of every church. Because the first thing we're supposed to do as we enter into God's holy house is to plunge our hands in that holy water, to remember the day of our baptism, to recall those saving waters, the waters that made us the holy son or daughter of God. With that holy water, we make the sign of the cross to proclaim that by baptism we've entered into the Lord's death and resurrection and are picking up our cross and following Him along the path to sanctity. We say, as we make that sign of the cross, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to remind us not only of the words of the baptismal formula that made us God's beloved child, but to recall that because of baptism, we now share in the life and the love of our holy, holy, holy triune God. To remember our baptismal dignity is also the reason why the church, at least every Easter, and as we'll do after this homily today, has us renew the baptismal promises, either we or our parents or godparents for us, made on the day of our baptism. But let's get practical. if the day of our baptism really is the most important day of our life, and it is, then we should act like it is. That begins with celebrating the anniversary of our baptism every year. On Wednesday, Pope Francis said, for the third time in 10 months, as Pope, that every Catholic should know and mark the anniversary of their baptism. I wrote an article in the Bulletin this week on his first two appeals in September and November. 4 days ago, he built on what he had said previously, stating to the tens of thousands of people present with him in Rome, many of us have no memory of the celebration of the sacrament. It's obviously why, if we were baptized soon after birth. I've already asked this question 2 or 3 times already here in St. Peter's Square. Who among you knows the date of your baptism? If you do, he said, raise your hands. And out of the 70,000 people present in St. Peter's Square, he saw only about 1,000 hands. About the same that he saw the first 2 times that he asked. And so he went on to say, it's important to know the day on which we were immersed in the current of Jesus' salvation. And so I'll allow you myself to give you some advice. But more than advice, a task, some homework. When you go home today, the Pope said, look, ask about the date of your baptism. In that way, you will keep in mind the most beautiful day of your life. To know the day of our baptism is to know a blessed day. And there's a danger when we don't know it. The danger of not knowing is that we can easily lose awareness of what the Lord's done in us, the memory of the incredible gift we've received. Thus, we end up considering it only an event that took place in the past, and an event that took place not as a result of our own will, but the will of our parents. And that way, baptism has no present impact in our life. Pope Francis finished by saying, we must reawaken the memory of our baptism. We're called to live out our baptism every day as the present reality of our life. Just like happily married couples remember and celebrate their wedding anniversary every day, every year. And if a husband forgets the anniversary date in which he was sacramentally married, he deserves the shoe that's going to hit him between the eyes. So if we don't remember the date of our baptism, God should throw the whole Rockport factory at us. There's no excuse for it. Because the date of our baptism is even more important for a couple in God's eyes than the date of their marriage. We should try to do everything that we can to find out that date, which is possible for us, and to live by it. Parents should celebrate likewise their children's baptismal days with even greater festivity than their birthdays, because the date of their rebirth and baptism is, as we used to say in Lowell growing up, wicked more important than the day of our physical birth. I always ask godparents that if they're going to buy a gift for their godchild at any time during the year, far more important than a Christmas gift, far more important than a birthday gift, is a gift on the anniversary of the baptism. That way, the godchild will grow up with a knowledge and expectation of what that date is, remember it, and look forward to it. On the other hand, the anniversary of baptism is never celebrated but totally forgotten. Any child growing on up will take it totally for granted. You remember a few months ago, when we were doing the re-registration for all our parishioners, on the sheet we printed in the bulletin and mailed to every home, I asked for the sacramental information for our computers, including dates of baptism, First Communion, confirmation, and sacramental marriage. Most married couples, thanks be to God, knew their wedding anniversaries, but only a tiny percentage of parishioners knew any of the other dates. Despite the fact in the cover letter that I sent, as well as in the bulletin, I asked everyone to take a little bit of extra time, go to the place where they keep all their important records, find their baptismal certificate, and write it down. The fact that so few parishioners wrote any of that other sacramental information tells me, I think, that most of them don't have a copy of those records. They haven't treasured that record. That's why I want to reiterate precisely what Pope Francis has been asking all Catholics throughout the world, not once, but not twice, but three times, to find out the day of our baptism. If you don't know the day of your baptism, all you have to do is call or visit or email the parish you were baptized at. Give us your date of birth. If you were baptized soon after your birth, that's all that we're going to need. If you're baptized at Immaculate Conception or Notre Dame or St. Rock's, we have the records here. If you're baptized in another church, that's where you'd go. Ask them for a copy of your baptismal certificate. If you don't know the church you were baptized in, then you can go to the church where you made your first communion or your confirmation, or if you're sacramentally married, where you're married, because in that marriage register or confirmation register, first communion register, it'll make a note of the church and the date of your baptism. So it's easy to find. And when you find out that date, please let us know. The reason why I'm reiterating the Pope's request is twofold. First, if you don't know the date of your baptism, you're really not living a good Christian life. You're not. Might not be murdering anybody, but you're not celebrating the font of divine life in you, the day that opened the gates of heaven. So it's very important for your spiritual life that you know this and celebrate it. But also for me as your pastor, my biggest job as your pastor is to pray for you. Priests pray the Liturgy of the Hours five times a day, and at every time I pray for all the parishioners here in general. But as I do with my family members, as I do with my friends, as I do with the spiritual directees who come to me, the various nuns and stuff, whom I guide for the Lord, I always celebrate the major anniversaries in their life with special prayers. And I want to pray for you, especially on those most important days in your life. Since we've entered the data that we got on in, I'm having Pauline, the secretary, print out for me every week the parishioners who are celebrating their baptismal anniversaries and their marriage anniversaries. And on the day of a parishioner's baptismal anniversary or matrimonial anniversary, I pray for you especially from 6 to 8 in the morning in the chapel when I'm doing my morning prayer. And I take your intentions with me to the altar. But I can't do that for you if I don't know your dates. So please find out. Let me pray for you. We all need prayer. When the priest prays the Liturgy of the Hours, we pray in the name of Jesus. And we all need his prayers. Knowing and celebrating the anniversary of our baptism is an essential beginning. But in order to live out the reality of that baptism well, we need to revisit it frequently in its essential details. Just as a married couple, grateful for the gift of their consecrated love for each other, opens up from time to time photo albums to relive and rededicate themselves to the marvelous mystery they entered into. So each of us should frequently, with the help of photos and videos from our baptism and the gift of our imagination that God's given us, relive and rededicate ourselves to the reality of the spousal covenant we entered into with God on the day of our baptism. In this way, we'll become more firmly grounded in who we are, the risen life in Jesus to which we're called, and the saint baptism calls us to be. Today, I'll focus briefly on three elements of the baptismal ceremony that we should constantly be thinking about and rekindling. First is our baptismal garment. Immediately after our baptism, we were clothed in a white garment, symbolizing the reality that in baptism we've put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the priest or the deacon or the bishop who baptized us instructed us to see in this white garment the outward sign of our Christian dignity and to take that dignity unstained into the eternal life of heaven. That white garment of purity in Christ is the wedding garment in which we're called to be adorned for the eternal wedding banquet of heaven. Today is a day in which we're called to examine whether that white garment remains truly unstained. It's our responsibility regularly to look at our clothes and see if they need to be washed. And the way we wash our clothes and keep it immaculate is through what the early saints called the sacrament of second baptism, which is the sacrament of penance, wherein Jesus washes us and returns us back to our baptismal dignity with the beauty that we had in our soul the day of our baptism. That's the first thing we should constantly examine. Just like somebody who regularly throws clothes in the washer, we need to throw our soul in the washer. Second, after we were vested with that white garment, our baptismal candle was illuminated from the paschal candle, signifying that we were now burning with Christ's own light. We were instructed to walk as a child of the light, keeping the flame of faith alive in our hearts. We were told to keep it safe from the poison of sin, so that when the Lord comes like the wise virgins in the gospel, we might go out to meet Him with all the saints in the heavenly kingdom, with lamps lit and burning full of love. Today is a day in which we can ask ourselves whether we're truly on fire with the love of the Lord, with love for others, for our faith, whether our hearts are like a tabernacle lamp burning for the Lord's presence, ignited in anticipation of heaven and of Christ's return, or whether, for the most part, our candles have just been extinguished, or whether we've just got embers. If we're not burning with the flame of faith, which is what baptism calls us to, today's a day we can turn to the Lord to ask Him to reignite us, so that we ourselves may become baptismal candles, burning to God's glory in the world and helping to light the world on fire. Finally, after our baptismal candle was lit, the priest did something highly significant. He put his thumb into our ears and then touched our tongue, and he said a prayer called the Ephphatha prayer, based on Jesus healing the deaf mute in St. Mark's Gospel. That word Ephphatha means in Aramaic, be open. And the priest prayed as he did that gesture, the Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May He soon touch your ears to receive His word and your mouth to proclaim His faith to the praise and glory of God the Father. The most fundamental reason we have ears is to hear about God. And the deepest reason why we have the capacity to speak is to speak to God and about God. Today is a day to examine ourselves whether we're really hearing His word, whether we're listening attentively to sacred scripture at Mass and reading sacred scripture on our own, whether we're treasuring God's word as the words of eternal life. It's also a good time to ask whether we're really using the tongue and the mouth and the capacity for speech God has given us to proclaim our faith and to share Christ's truth with our family members, with our friends, with our colleagues and fellow students, with our fellow citizens, even with strangers. If we haven't been, today is a great day to recommit ourselves to living out this twofold reality of baptized life. As we prepare in just a minute to renew our baptismal promises and then to receive the nourishment from the altar to which our baptism points, we ask the Lord to help us always to remember our dignity, to remember who we really are, so that we may live always as God's beloved children and come one day to experience the fullness of life that we received as a seed on the day of our baptism. We finish by praying once again today's opening prayer, which points to how the day of our baptism is meant to extend through our entire life. We turned to God the Father and we said, Almighty ever-living God, who, when Christ was baptized in the Jordan and as the Holy Spirit descended upon Him, solemnly declared Him to be your beloved Son, grant that we, your children by adoption, reborn of water and the Holy Spirit, may always be well-pleasing to you. On the day of our baptism, in the core of who we are, God pronounced that we were well-pleasing to Him. But now that's a moral task, to act in a way that always not just pleases Him, but pleases Him a lot. That's what we pray for today. That's the grace that God wants to give us. May God revivify in us all the graces of that most important day of our life, so that every day may be a day of baptized grace until the day when, God willing, He welcomes us home as His much-loved sons and daughters. Now I would ask everyone please to stand as we renew our baptismal promises. So please say and mean these words with your mind, heart, soul, and strength. Do you reject Satan and all his evil works and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth?
Do
you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father?
Do
you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting?
I do.
This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church. How proud and lucky we are to profess it. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.